If you want to learn how to automate your marketing feedback loops, if you want to learn how to save some time, then you absolutely want to listen to this episode. Because today's episode, we're going to be talking about the 6 marketing automations to save you more time. What's up, you guys? Rich Devishan here. I am super pumped to share this episode with you about marketing automations that will save you more time. This is something from my experience over the years, from realizing while there's a lot of opportunity to automate the things that are just kind of monotonous tasks in the automation or in the marketing space. So, you know, with AI and ChatGPT and Google Bard and all these different artificial intelligence tools that are out there, I think people are confusing the difference between the important tasks that will actually move the needle in terms of marketing and the things that need to be automated for marketing, because I think about it in 2 ways. There are tasks that, like content creation and, you know, actually like providing value to people, that are really important that cannot be automated. And in other words, it's creativity, right? If you have the creativity to be able to create content, maybe based on ideas that are generated from artificial intelligence that are automatic, right? That you get automatically from AI. But then there are tasks that are just like sort of keep the lights on background tasks that are really not necessary for you to do as a human, right? That a robot can essentially do for you. And that's what I kind of want to talk about today. And so we're going to be talking about the stuff that is not necessarily creative, but is really necessary to automate. And will, by doing so, will save you time that you can invest into more creativity, right? The stuff that to me is more fun, right? And stuff that comes from human beings. And some people might argue that AI will eventually either come up with new ideas and ways to be creative. But I don't think that's the case. I think that AI is going to give us some ideas on like creating content and, you know, ideas to create marketing information and maybe books and things like that. AI is just regurgitated information over and over and again, right? And so, how do we be more creative, in a world where AI is dominating right now? And it is challenging. One of the ways that I do it, and this isn't the episode about creativity, but we're going to be talking about the other stuff in automation. But just a side note on this is creativity to me comes from, for me personally, when I want to be more creative, I go into nature. I go into sort of like a silent retreat in a way. I have my laptop, I have my notebook, I have some books as well, but I typically like to sort of be creative by doing something different than what I normally do in my routine. So whether that's traveling, whether that's going to a log cabin, whether that's, you know, going to a lake, you know, or whatever, locally, whatever, something that's different and sort of outside of your routine, or you can think of it like something that's either out of your comfort zone or something that you haven't done in a very long time that you used to do, to kind of change the norm or change the routine. And for me, it's actually silence. Like for me to just go into nature, to listen to the ocean, to go to the beach, you know, whatever it is for you, but that's kind of what it is for me. So creativity is going to never be replaced, is sort of my hypothesis in this world. Like, and the more creative you are, the more people will pay you, quite frankly, but people aren't going to pay you for the things that can be automated, right? So obviously that changes over time, because I remember back in the day, Photoshop, right, was a skill that people paid for. And nowadays you can just click on a thing and and Photoshop will actually just do it for you. So it's making people more efficient, but people aren't paying necessarily for that efficiency, right? They're paying for the result of whatever you create for them. So anyway, let's talk about automation. So these are the kind of the 6 main marketing automations that will help you save more time. Now, in general, you know, people want instant gratification. That's why a lot of these AI tools and in general software and whatnot is so popular, because people are in this, you know, sort of on-demand life of Netflix. I want to watch this movie. Okay, let me search for it and let me click it. You know, I want to watch this TV show. Let me search for it and then I click it, right? So we are now in this sort of instant gratification lifestyle. And the one thing that I'm noticing is if you don't have your scheduling automated, meaning that somebody can book, you know, a calendar link or somebody can click on this, you know, this availability sheet or whatever automatically, it's going to save you a lot of time, right? When you have that automation in place. So the number one thing I would say first is start automating your scheduling as much as you can. So for example, when somebody schedules a meeting with you, there needs to be triggers automatically set up in whatever system it is. It doesn't matter what tool it is, because they all have this built in, that are in there for reminders before, you know, after follow-up. And also when somebody books an event that you need to follow up with information leading up to an event, for example, they're not confused, right? So like, let's just say you set an event for a coffee meetup, right? They need to know when they book it, where to go, what to do, where to park. All of that stuff can be automated, right? If you have somebody doing that manually, I'm sorry to say, but you're probably wasting their time and your time that they could be focusing on, you know, sort of more strategic, move the needle things. So number one is you absolutely want to make sure that you automate your scheduling as much as you can. And there's no excuse nowadays, because there are plenty of tools out there. There's Zapier is probably a whole nother podcast episode, but I would just start there and just think about, if my business requires some type of consultation, some type of Zoom call, phone calls, et cetera, have that scheduling automated and easy for people to book based on their own personal schedule. And it's funny when I think about it, you know, about over a decade ago, this sort of like Calendly, you know, scheduling, whatnot, was never really a thing. It was always like, you know, pull up my Outlook calendar, my Google calendar, and see what's there, and then like talk human to human based on that availability. Nowadays, you just send somebody a link to a calendar and they can book right away, right? And that goes from any platform, not just Calendly. There's a bunch of them out there. So number two, opt-in follow-up. If someone opts into one of your channels or some type of lead magnet, for example, a newsletter, a book, ebook, maybe even like a blog post in some cases, you want to make sure that you automatically follow up with some sort of workflow, right? So sort of like a welcoming email for a newsletter, and then make sure that they get some sort of workflow, ideally for like a week, so that they remember who you are every couple of days, without like oversending things. If it's a lead magnet, in the instant gratification world, when we sign up for something, we want to get that right away, right? So you absolutely have to have that file, a PDF, you know, or whatever document hosted on your platform. Doesn't matter where, really, as long as it's hosted somewhere, share that link with them instantly, automatically via email. So that's an automation that is really important. A lot of, you know, tools like ClickFunnels and whatnot, like those sort of like lead pages and all those websites, they have that stuff built in. And you absolutely need to make sure that, first of all, that you have a great lead magnet, something that's valuable to somebody to download. But more importantly, that you follow up with it instantly for them, especially if your marketing, your content shows that and says, hey, download now, you know, read now, whatever the terminology is. So an automation has to have an opt-in follow-up. Like, you have to have the opt-in follow-up automation. And that's number two. Number three, so SMS notification or SMS automation. This is probably something that I really didn't think about until recently, quite frankly. So let's say you're in a local service business, plumber, HVAC, you know, roofer, whatever, right? Whatever local business that you do. If somebody calls you and you're busy and you don't answer, then you better have an automatic follow-up sequence there to contact them, right? And that's sort of, I'm realizing now, like, when somebody calls, they have an intent to do something, whether it's ask a question, you know, whatever it is, to book an appointment, to ask for a quote, whatever business you're in. You know, phone calls are still a thing, right? People still make phone calls. Not everybody texts and not everybody just sends emails. Some people actually want to have a quick conversation, especially if it's something like a bigger ticket item or they have a major problem like electrical issues or plumbing issues, right? So in that scenario, you want to make sure that you have, you know, some sort of SMS or text automation at the right time. So the timing is important. When somebody calls, you want to make sure that if you don't answer, then you follow up with a text, let's say like 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later. And the text can say something like, "Sorry, Mr. Call, how can I help you?" Or, "Sorry, Mr. Call, would you like me to call you back? At what time would you like me to call you back?" Right? So it's really just, the copy really doesn't matter right now. The point is to have that automation in place to quickly follow up with people, because they might be calling four other people. And if you don't follow up with them within 10 minutes, even 5 minutes, they're likely to call somebody that does answer. And then they get their business instead of you getting their business. So the time to respond is really important in this world of instant gratification. And more importantly, if you're in a business where somebody's hot water heater broke and they need something right away when it starts to get cold, right? So that's number three, SMS automation. Customer operations automations, that's number four. So when someone purchases from you, let's just think of it as like fulfillment automation. The easiest example that comes to mind is Amazon. When you buy something from Amazon, you're basically informed all along the way. They tell you as soon as it's purchased, you get an email and a text maybe, right? If you're opted in for that. When it's scheduled for, or when it's actually like shipped out from the distribution center, you're informed from the distribution center. When it basically gets sent from the distribution center and is on the way, if you have it turned on, you'll get a notification, "Hey, it's on the way. You know, your package is 10 stops away," right? For example. And then once it gets delivered, you get that email or text message with a picture from the delivery driver that says, "Hey, here's your stuff has been delivered." And just giving you the context of like just Amazon, right? And obviously Amazon has been growing year over year. People like that. People like to be informed, and they've actually created an incredible standard from an operations and fulfillment perspective as a customer. And that's why people keep coming back and buying more from Amazon, for not only because it's convenient, but it's like, "Hey, now I'm informed." You also see that with brands like Grubhub, DoorDash, right? Companies like that, where your food delivery is, you're being informed along the way. You can see when that person comes to your door, right? You can see when they're in the area, how close they are, and also when a picture of when they've delivered your order. So that's becoming the new standard. And in terms of automation for marketing, you need to make sure you have those triggers in place when somebody actually purchases from you, right? Especially if you're delivering a physical product. If you're delivering a digital product, it's not as complicated, but I'll just say, if it's a physical product or even a service somebody buys from you, you better immediately inform them of what they need to do next, because they give you money for that, right? They sent you money. So you need to automate your emails, your upsells, your redirects, your notifications to remind them of things like delivery, future meetings, expectations, etc. So make sure that you have that whole operations piece dialed in perfectly. In our case with Red Rat Media and the digital marketing side of things, we have automated process to send out gifts for customers and clients. So when they buy from us and they purchase our service, we send them out, you know, basically we send them a gift, physical gift in person. And that's part of the onboarding process as well. So the whole onboarding process, which you can kind of call it, you know, customer fulfillment in our business, is automated for the most part. Now somebody has to go in and trigger it and start it and send off the information, but it's, you know, for the most part automated for us, which is great. Now that's number four. Number five, marketing automation, reviews and surveys. So whether your reviews and surveys are text-based, email-based, or both, automating your reviews and surveys at the right time, they need to be timed correctly, can be super effective for your reputation management. Okay, so for example, when a job is complete with your client and you reviewed it and you want to make sure that you kick off a review or survey after the work has been done, or let's say realtor, on the closing day, when like right when they receive their check, you want to make sure you ask for the review, right? Or the day of them depositing the check, right? So you have to think about, when is the high of that customer? That's the best time to give them a review, to request a review on behalf. So that's the idea, is like not only understanding the timing correctly, it has to be automated, right? So you have to figure out, like, how could you automate that based on some trigger from your customer, and obviously it differs, and some brands and businesses can't do this automatically, which, you know, is another conversation, but you have to think about like the whole customer journey from start to finish. Like once they receive their product, ideally you want to ask for a review, or once they receive, once they're happiest and the highest, you know, possible result that you can get them, that's when you want to ask for a review. You don't want to ask them for a review when you just screwed something up for them, because now they're in the mindset of like, this, you know, company sucks, right? And even if you screw something up, when you fix it, that might be a good time to do the review as well, because it's like, hey, we're so sorry, we take ownership of this problem, but let's ask for the review now. You know, we would love your feedback on how we fixed it and how we handled the situation, because this doesn't happen that often. We're so sorry, blah, blah, blah. Then you ask for the review or survey, right? Here's an example of, in my opinion, not the best ones. I don't know if you're flying a lot, or if you're, you know, do a lot of business travel, go into an airport. I've seen this a lot lately. You go into the airport and you go to the bathroom, and on the way out of the bathroom, they give you these three circles, or these three faces. One is happy, one is medium, and one is sad, like red, blue, green, or red, orange, green. And it's kind of weird, right, to ask that when you're going to the bathroom, but use that example of like, well, first of all, I'm not the person that actually responds to that. Right? Because it's a little weird, like, how is our service in the bathroom? It's kind of an odd thing. But let's just say they did that with the airlines, right? Let's just say, and this might be a great idea for if you're an airline executive listening to this, I hope you take this idea, but probably the best way to do that and incorporate that instead of using bathrooms would be, let's say I'm Delta or American or Southwest, when you land, have somebody either standing there with an iPad or have an iPad on a stand with those three options. How was your flight today? Good, bad, or indifferent, right? And the timing is perfect, because it's like, hey, you just arrived. How was the flight? And if you want to give more information, right, and more details, then it's probably okay to do that, you know, with some other means. But the point is that it's automated, right? And you have it perfectly timed for the customer to ideally at their high moment, so that you can get positive feedback. Okay. So by doing that, it actually also helps prevent when you do have a problem, you know, for the customer to not review you during the problem, right? Because that's what people typically do, right? If they have a major problem, they're like, oh, I'm going to put a bad review. Like, oh, I'm going to put a negative review. But you want to make sure you automate that stuff. You know, like another example is e-commerce, right? You receive your thing, you get notified from the third party vendor that it has been delivered. At that moment, you should have an automation that triggers and says, hey, we just saw that your item was, you know, shipped. Or you could do it the next day. Hey, your item was shipped yesterday. Would love to know if you enjoy it or not, right? Some type of review that way. It's all about timing. And that's number five. Lastly, number six, we're getting pretty long here. Lastly, number six is the abandoned cart automation, and specifically for e-commerce. So e-commerce, near and dear to my heart, been doing it for a long time. And I've seen, you know, many different platforms do this with abandoned cart emails. But if you have an e-commerce store, you definitely want to make sure you have an abandoned cart automation, whether it's built into the platform or custom or both, or built into some other platform that you're integrated with, like Klaviyo or MailChimp or whatever. You need to remind customers of not only, you know, they've abandoned their cart, but also remind them like, hey, we noted, like give them an incentive to buy. You know, and I've seen a lot where somebody abandons their cart and they give them a 20% off. Now, be careful with that, because people will take advantage of that and they'll try to do it for everything. And I've seen that before too. But you have to think about it from their perspective, right? Let's say I'm browsing a website. Then in the middle of browsing, I get a phone call. I've added it to the cart, but I got a phone call. That's kind of a use case. in that use case, somebody either forgot or they got distracted and they never purchased. Some people just add it to cart and they decide, you know what, I don't want this anymore. I'm just going to leave. And instead of just giving an abandoned cart for a product, why not give them a higher expensive option, like upsell, or a lower expensive option as an alternative? Because maybe they weren't, maybe they wanted it and they decided, you know what, I don't want this anymore. It's too expensive. Or, hey, I don't want this anymore. It's not really what I needed. So I think abandoned carts can be expanded in such a way that it's more effective for the customer. And then there are other automations as well, like, hey, this product is back in stock, right? Check it out. It's just another excuse for you as a brand to connect with your customer, right? Hey, this product is on your wish list. I love how Steam Games does this, by the way, if you're a gaming fan like me. Steam does this really well. Like, quick example, I've had Worms Armageddon, the original game, if you ever played that, Worms Armageddon on my wish list. And they I haven't bought it yet, but they're constantly reminding me, like, hey, this has been, you know, discounted, or hey, this is on sale. And I love it because, I only keep it there to remind me that that's a really good idea for a notification. I never actually bought it, but the point is, like, now they're still top of mind because they're informing me of, you know, the product that's been on my wish list and it's now on sale, right? So that's kind of a summary of, you know, all the marketing automations, and hopefully you guys found this useful. And if you want, just reach out to me at on Instagram, or check us out at redwrapmedia.com. We have an incredible team of really smart people that know pay-per-click, Google Ads, SEO, all that fun stuff to help you grow your business with marketing. Because as you know, marketing is pretty broad, right? Digital marketing space is pretty broad in terms of the services and whatnot that you can do in the marketing space. We happen to be really good at the SEO and PPC part of things, but not a big fan of doing the social media marketing stuff because it doesn't really move the needle from our perspective. You know, there are some brands out there that have done a really good job of, like, short form videos and all that stuff to get more eyeballs, but typically views and subscribers and those sort of things don't really translate into paying customers, right? Unless it's more broad that you're doing. So if you want to chat more, check us out at redwrapmedia.com. We'll give you a free consultation and have a chat and see if we were a good fit or not. So thank you guys so much for taking the time, and peace out.